Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. The last several days, I've been ministering on the dangers that are inherent as we walk in the promised land that could cause defeat. And I've been using as some examples for us out of the Old Testament what experiences that Joshua and the people of Israel had when they first left their major victory at Jericho and were moving on into conquer the second city, which was Ai. And there was a sin of disobedience through the individual Achan. There was also the sin of presumption. They underestimated the enemy, and as a result, they suffered a defeat. And as we look, what lessons we can learn from this, because we want to move into our promised land, but we have to be aware that we've got to do things God's way. God's had a plan. He has a way to do things. If He had a way of bringing them very specifically out of Egypt into the promised land, then He would have a way to show them how to possess their inheritance. Achan's sin actually involved others. He sinned not only against the Lord and against his family, but against the whole people of Israel. So we see here, if we refuse to obey God, we don't stand before God to be judged alone, but what we do affects our whole spiritual family. To many, it will mean death. To many, it could mean living a life of defeat. There were 36 warriors that were slain as a result of the defeat at Ai. Beloved, if we obey God, if we stay strong, if we continue to pay the price spiritually, financially, and in every other way, we will see God give us the increase, and He'll bring life and blessings to thousands upon countless thousands with the good news. So as we look at these early chapters of Israel possessing the promised land, we also see another clever trick that the enemy had for them in chapter 9. And we see that there was a group of people called the Hivites, the Gibeonites, who weren't sure that they could defeat Israel on the battlefield, so they decided to adopt the strategy of deception. So they came, let me read just a few verses in verse 4 of chapter 9, speaking of the Gibeonites. They did work wily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, and old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us." And of course, they weren't from a far country. They were very close. And it says in verse 15, and Joshua, let me read 14, that's important. And the men took of their victuals, they were looking at them, you know, their evidence, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And that was binding, even centuries later, because of that that vow that they had made. But they brought a story that was plausible, and in such an attitude of reverence to Jehovah, and their outward appearance was so consistent with what they were saying, the children of Israel didn't think it was necessary to consult God about the situation. And beloved, again, that's a lesson for us to learn as individuals. We need to ask God, to seek His wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. So not only as individuals, but many a church has been deluded into thinking, a certain pastor or a certain plan of operations or a certain affiliation would be just the thing for them. And they didn't bother to wait on God and get His answer. What did I share with you? It says, the children of Israel asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They trusted themselves instead of trusting God. They counted on their own good judgment, their own assessment of the situation, instead of asking God what they should do. Beloved, whenever we take things into our own hands, remember the story of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar? You know, if they'd have just waited on God. I won't go any further with that. But listen, beloved, the devil lays snares. He'll do everything he can to get you disgruntled and unhappy. He'll tell you in very plausible terms that the load's too heavy, the goal's too great, and it'll just sound, reasonable, plausible. The only problem is when God said to do something, God started running this thing, and we can't stop in the middle of a battle and start doing it ourselves. God brought them out of Egypt, and God wanted to bring them into the promised land. He would direct them, but they had to be willing to wait on Him. And so we must learn lessons from this too, not to be presumptuous, not to think because of past victories that everything automatically is going to fall in place. We must continually seek the Lord, just as Joshua did for Jericho. Every step of the way, He wants to be our guide. He wants to give wisdom. He wants us to show the way in which we're to walk. In the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10, the word says, last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. Verse 11 says, put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand safe against all strategies and tricks of Satan. Verse 12 says, for we fight not against people made of flesh and blood, or, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and every, the rulers in the darkness of this world. Verse 13 says, so use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy whenever he attacks, and when it's all over, you will still be standing up. Praise God. You and I have been given specific promises from God, and all of those promises, the word says, are yea and amen in Christ. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, I want to read some verses to you. Verse 26 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. We are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and we've been baptized into union with Christ. And because of that, we're no longer Jew or Greek or slaves or free or even male or female, but we're all one. We're all Christians. We're all part of God's family in Christ Jesus. And now that we are Christ, we are the true descendants of Abraham, and all of God's promises that were given to him belong to us. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 17 through 20, the Lord says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is saying that He's given us both His promise and His oath. Two things, beloved, we can completely count on, for it is impossible for God to tell a lie. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we have great victories before us, but we simply have to wait on God, consult the Lord, and do it God's way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I feel the Lord just wanting to touch you right now, to refresh you in your body, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. Hallelujah. For the word of the Lord would say to you, beloved, you know that my words cannot return to me void, and I desire to bring my promises to pass in your life and to bless you from on high in a dimension you've not yet experienced. If you shall hear and obey, my blessing shall be manifested wherever you are. In the city, in the marketplace, in the field, on the job, in your home, and round about you, because you love me and believe. And I shall cause your enemies to be put to flight. These are the days of revival and restoration, and I desire to open my good treasure to you. I shall make you the head and not the tail. I will be a stone wall against the enemy and refreshing waters to you. Listen to my still small voice with a new attention. Lo, the master of your life, the light of your pathway, he who calls to you this very moment, declares to you that you are mine. Oh, my beloved, don't look at the lack or the misfortunes or the wants that are seemingly endless, but look to me. Come to me in this very hour, and I will make you a blessing to others as you've never been before. And you shall feel my strength. You shall feel the undergirding of my presence. You shall feel my comfort. And all that you desire shall be known to me, and I will answer, says the Lord. Praise God. Praise his holy name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your refreshing. Thank you for touching lives and hearts right now. Praise God. Well, this week has just flown by, and I invite you to tune in next week at this same time. Monday through Friday, we're heard at this regular time every day on this station. But I invite you to become a part of our spiritual family. Whatever the needs are in your life, if you're concerned about unsaved loved ones, send me their names. If you need a deeper spiritual understanding of God's word, or you need a clearer understanding of God's plan for your life, if you want a new anointing or greater happiness, peace, and joy, whatever those needs are, physical needs, financial needs. I was just rejoicing because we were praying for a brother and he got a job when it was not likely for him to get a job. So whatever those needs are, God's able to make a way for you. Thank you for your prayers and your financial help. And until next week, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.